Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, October 27th. I don't know about you guys, but it is a super foggy morning here in Santa Monica, California. This is Liz Dolan, Sheila, and Leanne. Has the fog reached Pasadena? Are you enveloped in clouds out there?
No.
Well, I would say that it's very chilly this morning, Leanne.
I would not. I would disagree.
And there you go. That is our relationship.
Well, speaking of chilly, Lynn posted a photo on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group today or yesterday. She lives in Edmonton, Alberta. So she just gave us a photo of her backyard. She's already got snow on the ground back there, Sheila. So
I feel better.
Lynn can claim that it is that is cold. Okay, so Sheila's here, South Pasadena. Leanne's in Pasadena. Maybe that explains the weather difference. And then, of course, Julie, you are with us from Dallas, Texas. But you have breaking news.
I do have some breaking news, sisters. I broke something this week. That would be my wrist.
Oh, it's breaking.
I broke some wrist. Yes, it's really breaking news. I broke my wrist. I tripped. I started to fall, and I put out my wrist to break my fall, and I broke my wrist.
Oh, Jewel.
That's bad.
It was bad. It was, there was like no question about it. It was just my wrist after I fell was just took on a very funny shape. Oh. It just was not right at all. I was at team tennis practice. That's where I was. And I was going for a ball. I tripped and I went down. And oh my gosh, I knew immediately. It wasn't like sometimes when you like sprain it, like, oh gee, wonder if it could be broken. No, it was ugly. It was broken. But fortunately, my tennis partners, my team, they became my satellite sisters because there I was, you know, they picked me up. They drove me to, not to the emergency room. They drove me to an orthopedic, a special clinic that specializes in just doing orthopedics. They have an emergency room. I went right in there and, my tennis partner, I'm in my tennis, little tennis togs.
Okay, that alone is embarrassing, isn't it? When you're out in real life in tennis clothes.
I just never wanted to. It's sort of this, the whole thing that I'm even playing tennis is sort of this secret life I have. I just started playing when mom and dad got sick. You know, it was just sort of this outlet, something to do. Like, I don't really tell many people that I actually play tennis because, you know, I just, A, I'm not that good at it, and B, I don't know. I just, it's my little secret. So,
Glad said there were some ugly uniforms involved, so there was that.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yes, we do wear uniforms, and last year there were turquoise ruffles involved, and that was just fun. So I arrive at this emergency room. You know, I can't, it's my right wrist. I can't do anything. I can't fill out the paperwork. I can't do anything, so... Very nice tennis partner. She's doing all the paperwork. I am telling her all of my secrets. She knows my height, my weight, my social security number. She even knows my age, which I was, again, trying to hide.
You were. I will confirm that. When I was in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, Julie said, please don't mention that I'm 10 years older than you. were trying to hide your age.
It's all out there, but she is just helping me. And then so then they bring me in. They've got me on a gurney. And, you know, my head is spinning because I can see, like, my wrist is not right. I'm really worried. And I'm sort of, like, you know, taking my vitals. I can tell that, like, my pulse rate is up. And, you know, I'm trying to determine just, like, how much pain I'm in. Like, you know, what else could be broken? Where is this going to go medically? But I'm also, you know, sort of simultaneously, a second track is going on in my mind where I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, I was supposed to be Nana this weekend. I'm supposed to take care of my grandchildren. How am I going to do that with the broken hands? And then I just like spun out of control. It's like, we got Halloween. We've got Thanksgiving. I've got a broken wrist. Oh. This is bad. I mean, it's like, how am I going to fill out the Christmas cards?
So this is, we shouldn't laugh, but I can totally understand how that would happen.
Yeah, and it's all true. Yeah. How are you going to do the Christmas cards?
I don't know.
Get but a then, stamp.
But then a third track is going on. This is the total superficial track where I am just like, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness I got that gel manicure yesterday. Everyone in this place is looking at my hands. And you know, girls, my fingers and hands are not my strong points. So thank goodness I had a decent manicure. And then the other thing that has just like come across my mind all in this jumble is, the orthopedic emergency room surgeon is the best looking man I've ever seen in my life. He walked into the room and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy would be perfect. Sheila, he's old. He's old enough. Okay. And he's tall. He's handsome. He's just, you know, he's incredibly fit. He's wearing just like a curly t-shirt and surgical pants. And so, and again, back to the pain in my wrist. And then I'm thinking about Thanksgiving and how am I going to pull the turkey out of the oven? And then I'm back to the orthopedic surgeon and he turns to leave the room. And I realize that the doctor is not wearing any underpants.
Like, oh, Julie. Oh my God.
Dr. Commando. Let me just call him Dr. Commando.
I think you're in shock at this point. You are in shock.
I am in shock, Sheila, but I'm pretty certain that there was nothing on except for those surgical blue pants that are cinched very tightly around his face.
He was on call, Jewel. He was on call, and they have very little time to get dressed.
So then I'm thinking, is this a good thing? Will Sheila like this? Will she like it that Dr. Commando doesn't wear underpants to work?
I like him already, but he lives in Dallas and I live in LA. So let's keep going, Jewel. So what did he do? What did he say to you? Anything?
Sheila, he came in. He was super nice. He was technically very good, which was he came in and he took one look at my wrist and he said, oh, that's bad.
That takes years of training.
Oh, that hurt. And, you know, and then they're used, you girls, I don't know if you've broken bones, but sometimes when you have sprained an ankle or broken a bone, there's some amount of like anticipation about the x-ray. Like the x-ray is going to prove conclusively that you've broken it. Well, in my case, because my hand and my wrist is, they are just not in the right place. I know that there's no, you know, everything is broken here. So the x-ray, you know, goes okay. And then of course, Dr. Commando wants me in his office. He wheels me back to his office to show me the x-rays. And that's when I about pass out. Cause you know, it's just like, oh, please. Fine. That's good. And I can see Dr. Commando is, you know, he's good at what he does. He can really see. But then he said, the surgery word, you know, that this is not going to be something with a simple cast, that they have to do surgery. And so, again, he's in and out of my examining room. That's forward and backwards. Dr. is coming in and going out. I'm in some dream state. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But he's got me all signed up. I'm in a temporary cast now that I've had to stay very still with. And this coming week, I'm going to see another the orthopedic guy that specializes in hands and wrists. And I guess then we'll talk about surgery. So all in all,
That is so disappointing. Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that.
I know. Yeah. So there's just any number of things that you just can't do with your left hand. you can't open anything, you know.
I know. I broke my right wrist snowboarding, remember? And yes, I had to, during the time that it was broken, I had to rent a car because I drove a stick shift. So obviously you can't be shifting with your right hand when you've got a cast on your right hand, and it really hurts. So there was all that part. Like, you can't drive yourself around all that easily. Getting dressed is a nightmare. Cooking obviously does not go that well. Yeah, it really.
Brushing your teeth. I mean, you have to brush your teeth with your left hand.
Go with an electric toothbrush. No, brushing the teeth is easy, Leanne. It's flossing. Think about that. Oh, yeah. But they have these flossing sticks, so I got those. But
well, sure you do, Jewel. You have it all.
But that's the thing. So I made a list. I know I have an iPhone that has Siri, and quite frankly, I've never used Siri. But guess what? The last couple of days, Siri is my new best friend, because you can dictate text messages on Siri. You can dictate emails on Siri. Did you know that?
Oh, is that why you were texting us yesterday?
Yes, because I can do it on Siri. I just talk into my iPhone. So I made a list for, again, because I can't write anything, I made a list of the positive things that are coming out of this wrist break. And here it is. And I dictated this on Siri to my little notepad on my iPhone. The first thing is left hand mental acuity. You know, that's one thing they tell you, that as you get older, you should try to do normal tasks with your opposite hand.
Right.
This increases mental acuity. So I believe that I'm already smarter in the last several days.
Okay, that's one good thing.
Okay, Siri. Okay, I have now mastered Siri, and I can see that you're impressed with that. That I this is something that you could, that I can now do, that I can text and I can send emails just by talking into my phone.
Nice. So
I like that. I have taken the stance that this is going to be, for the most part, a bra-free experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, excellent. That is always a plus.
You know, I mean, because that, I guess there'll be a few occasions when I might go for the brassiere, but I just don't see on a regular basis, if I have to dress myself and I want to be able to do it myself, that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, you obviously don't need that if you're going to see Dr. Commando, right?
No, unfortunately, he's the only emergency
room. Oh.
I suspect that my Dr. Frederick, who's going to be working on my my wrists, will actually be wearing underwear, but we'll see. We'll see when we get there on Monday.
I'm sure you will, because you're on the lookout for that now, Jewel.
I know, Sheila.
Which is unusual for you. It's just very unusual.
Sheila, it was all part of, I think, the shock of the accident, I guess.
For the painkillers.
It was noticeable. That's all I can say. And any red-blooded woman in the same position as me would have noticed what Dr. Commando. Okay, that's all I'm saying. All right. I also feel like this will be a makeup-free zone because I'm really just can't see applying a lot of makeup with my left hand. I just, maybe I'll get a little better at it or not, but so that should be a period of great liberation. I see that as good. And I think I had other things, but I can't remember them, and I can't review the list right now. So that's it. But those are four big things that are on the positive side of this.
That is good, Julie, looking on the bright side. That is good. And do you have the pain under control? I know at first you said it was really overwhelming.
Yeah, really. First night, worse than childbirth. But today I'm good. So I don't know how I'll be after the surgery, but today I'm very good. Yep.
All right, Jewel, that's good. Good luck with that, as Sheila would say. Keep us posted. All right. Well, you know, that was breaking news. Some sad news this weekend. We lost a couple of excellent people. Marcia Wallace, the voice actress from The Simpsons, and also the classic receptionist, Carol, on the Bob Newhart show. And then Lou Reed died today, which is also really sad.
So, oh boy!
He was a genius.
Yeah, Lou Reed. I mean, Sweet Jane, Walk on the Wild Side, just classic soundtrack of my 20s. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah, 1984.
Yeah, how old was he, Lance?
Okay, so here, let's take them one by one. Marsha Wallace died at age 70. She was a 20-year survivor of breast cancer. She actually ended up dying of pneumonia. So I guess she had been in kind of ill health for the last couple of months. But she won an Emmy for her Simpsons role, and she played Edna Krabappel, the sort of crusty, caustic, chain-smoking fourth-grade teacher. Oh, she had some... some great lines in that show. And just remember her as Carol on the Bob Newhart show, how funny she was as the receptionist.
Oh, she was excellent. That was such a great show.
Yeah. So, and she just, the executive producer of The Simpsons, Al Jean, said she's irreplaceable. So Bart will be getting a new teacher. They're not going to hire a new voice actress, that Edna Krabappel. And for those of you that don't watch The Simpsons, Krabappel is actually crab apple. Just pronounced Krabappel. So just funny. That's just funny Simpsons humor. So Edna Krabappel will be retired. So very sad to hear that. And then Lou Reed was 71. And I guess he had the cause of death has not been given, according to Rolling Stone. But I guess he had a liver transplant in May. So he had been in ill health. But I mean, he was really like a seminal rock and roll guy and super cool. Obviously had some issues with drugs and alcohol. But remember when he married Laurie Anderson? Like, he was married to Laurie Anderson, super cool performance artist Laurie Anderson. And one of the little trivia things I learned about Lou Reed a couple years ago was when my son did a report on Vaclav Havel, you know, the guy who led Czechoslovakia to democracy. He was hugely influenced by Lou Reed, which is why the name of that was called the Velvet Revolution, because it was in honor of the Velvet Underground.
Really?
Wow. Yes. That is unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. So not only influential in rock worlds, but also in the political world too. So, and my son was able to use some excellent Lou Reed music as the soundtrack to his PowerPoint presentation on Vaclav Havel. But anyway, so very sad to lose those two people. Very sad.
Yeah. That is, Leanne.
Yeah. I think words like seminal get thrown around a lot, like too much. But Lou Reed, for sure, deserves that. Another one that I've decided people should almost never use is iconic. Aren't you finding that iconic is sort of overdone now? But certainly Lou Reed, iconic.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, Yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Oh, you're so right about that, Liz.
Thank
All right.
You.
Well, I don't have any breaking news as usual, but I do have...
some information about you?
Yes, I have some information about me, and I'd like to frame it in a special third grade positive reinforcement time that we've implemented this year, and it's called the shout-out. Everybody, can you say shout-out?
Shout-out.
Okay, so on Fridays in third grade right now, we do shout-outs. We say name children who've made some excellent choices during the week, and kids shout out about each other. So the idea is you're not just shouting out about yourself, obviously, but you're looking for kids who've done a great job in school this week, and you acknowledge them. So I want to do some shout outs to people in my life who really made my life much more tolerable this week.
Okay, good.
And basically saved me in many occurrences. So my first person who saved me is Michael at the Bristol Farms grocery market near my home, who not only found my debit card on Friday night, but called B of A, Bank of America, and canceled it for me.
Really? Wow.
Now, I mean, it's sort of unbelievable. I mean, I knew I was going to lose my card that night because I was so tired when I was purchasing my dinner that it was just things were falling, and I actually didn't have my card. My card was in the car, so I had to do the classic, I'm sorry, I left my card in my car. So all the groceries were there, but I didn't have my card. Walked back, ran back, got my card, paid for my groceries, and somehow left my debit card there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then spent all Saturday morning panicking, retracing my steps. And I thought, let me just go back to Bristol Farms. It's probably not there, but let me go back. Sure enough, they had it sealed up in the safe with the note, called the bank, and the bank will be calling the customer.
Wow. That is very nice customer service.
So I thanked them. I went around and thanked everybody. And I do shop there frequently, Leanne, even though it's a few pennies more because there's... Because the proximity to my apartment.
Yeah. Wait, did you think I was judging you silently from the other?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, silently judge me. I mean, I'll buy, you know, the free-range chicken that's all, it's pre-made because that's what I need on a Friday night. I need everything pre-made. Mm-hmm. In fact, the hot food bar there is excellent.
You're buying for one person, so the difference isn't going to be any greater. I'm buying for four, so I could never afford to shop there, and I hate the parking there. But you go ahead.
The parking is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
Okay, so thank you, Michael. Okay, I also want to do a shout out to Veronica, my technician at the Huntington Hill Breast Center, because you may know that October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So as a courtesy to their customers, they stayed open late this month. So I got the last appointment again on a Friday night, which is not a good night for me.
As we've already established.
And I arrived just at 7:30, which of course is late for a Dolan. I mean, that is late.
Yeah.
You might as well be an hour late if you're on time. And they, I mean, I thought they would just be sunshiny and bright and welcome me at my usual time, at my appointment time, 7:30. But they were closing up shop. I was the last breast to go. So,
so this was your annual mammogram?
My annual mammogram, girls. So went in, and Veronica, again, this was her last exam of the day, of the evening, and she was dynamite. I mean, she just took those breaths, and she just manipulated them. I mean, you know, these people are amazing, these technicians, and they just help you through it. And I, of course, I start to cry, you know, every time I go to a doctor, really. It doesn't matter. And I said, Veronica, thank you so much. You're just so, so good. She said, you know, I said, how many have you seen? She goes, I said, how many appointments do you see in a day? You're remarkable. She goes, 25 times two.
I'm sure that's a big mammogram joke.
I guess it is, but at that point I didn't care, Liz.
Because I was classic.
Okay, I just got it. I didn't understand it. Okay, now I get it. I'm sorry.
You're gonna have to work on that mental acuity.
Yeah.
Start brushing your teeth with your left hand.
And then at the Huntington Hill Breast Center, they give you a thank you card for coming. And so I just want to do a shout out to Veronica. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. The next shout out I want to do is to Coach Chad at the Rose Bowl pool, who welcomed me back to the Master Swim after many months of disappearance, many, many months. Welcomed me back warmly, as he does, by looking at me, scowling, and saying, Dolan, get in the pool.
Okay. Well, that's what you're there to do, right?
Yep. And so that's good. So I've done my master's five times this week and moved.
That is impressive.
I know. Moved up to number two in the Duffer lane. So that's good. Now, I will never beat out Tom, another teacher who's there every morning. Tom needs to be first in the Duffer lane, and we let him.
Okay.
And frankly, my math is so bad that I could not do the split set timing. You know, if Chad says do 200 on 150, I don't know what that means. I mean, I know it's a minute 50, but I can't do the intervals because I'm so bad at math. And that's why I'm a teacher. All right. And then finally, I want to say thank you to James. Big shout out to James, one of my baristas at Starbucks, who, again, on a Friday night, I decided to go and just get a little pick-me-up on a Friday night. And so I ordered my double non-fat PSL pumpkin spice latte. For those who don't know, it is the 10th anniversary of the PSL at Starbucks. And he gave me just a nod and said, go ahead, Sheila. And just gave me the PSL for free.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
I hope you don't get him in trouble.
No, it was a double. I know he's not going to get in trouble. No one knows. I mean, there are how many Starbucks in Pasadena? Like 5,000? Okay, Leanne.
Okay, Sheila. Again, okay. I'm not judging. I just, God.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
in no their kidding. Skin. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already FrameBridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and FrameBridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but FrameBridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or see a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's FrameBridge.com. Thanks, FrameBridge.
And that's it. That's my shout outs for the week.
Okay. Well done. Now, Julie, I know you said you wanted to do an international news roundup, but because of your sketchy ability to take notes, you weren't exactly sure how many stories you had, but you want to just dive in now? Give us the international roundup?
I do, sisters, because there's so many interesting things going on in the world, all having to do with women. First up, Saudi Arabia. They had a big weekend this weekend where a group of Saudi women attempted again to protest the laws in Saudi Arabia that prohibit women from driving. Now, they've tried this before, and in the past, it hasn't gone well. And it's been very small numbers. They've had when they tried this before, only 47 women were brave enough to get in the car and drive around. But this time, because of social media, the word really went out. They have more activists there, but the numbers were still incredibly small this weekend in terms of the women that had the courage and I guess the wherewithal. Because here's the thing I was worried about. If you have been prohibited from driving your whole life, how is it you know how to drive a car, you know, if you're going to stage a protest? But anyway, 60 women did that. And they received worldwide attention because of it. And, you know, a lot of it was posted on Twitter and Facebook. And women were out there. Leanne, one woman just drove to the grocery store and back. That's all she wanted to do. And, you know, I mean, these were really courageous women. In the past, they've been put in jail. But this time, sadly, you know, this was supposed to be an improvement. The Saudi government did not put them in jail, but they had detained women that they stopped driving a car, and they made them wait until a male guardian came and picked them up. You know, how bad is that? How bad is that?
I know. You know, Julie, I heard a story on the radio about this earlier this week about the previous protests. Yes. And the woman they were interviewing had participated in one of the first protests. And not only did she get fired from her job as a result of that, but she was a photographer and the government rounded up all of her work and burned it. You know, so she was saying in the interview that she was just happy she didn't get put in jail. But imagine losing your job and having all of your work destroyed, a career's worth of work destroyed because you attempted to drive a car. I was really, really surprised about that. Another thing they said in the story, which I didn't know, is that there's no actual law against driving, but it's an unofficial ban that is supported by conservative clerics. So the police enforce it, even though it's not really a law.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either, Liam. So I don't know how you overturn it. Obviously, they're trying to get it overturned, but it's sort of because it's an unofficial ban. Anyway, just two pieces of information I did not have before.
No, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, this group of there are about 200 clerics nationwide that, you know, that are really outspoken about, you know, the evils of having women drive cars, and that they even go so far to make scientific claims that on popular Saudi websites that if women drive, it's been scientifically proven that driving affects the ovaries and it leads to clinical disorders in the children of women who are foolish enough to drive.
I mean,
it's such a basic freedom. And in many cases, you know, women in this country think it's a chore that they have to drive around, pick their kids up, whatever.
Drive to work,
you know, and then you hear about these women and how courageous those 60 women were today or yesterday that participated in this ban. So hats off to them. There's another group in China that I think also deserve our support. Liz, I know you've spent enough time in China to know that in the big parks that they have outside of Beijing, you see it's very common to see people exercising, playing chess, playing music, dancing. Well,
big like Tai Chi groups, all of that. Yes, the parks are very full of activity.
Right. Well, but in one park just outside of Beijing, there's a group of grandmothers. And I don't know how old these women are. They're probably like me, active grandmothers. Okay. And they like to go to the park and they like to turn up their music and they like to do ballroom dancing. Okay. This is their thing. It's grannies doing the dancing. Well, apparently because others in the park don't appreciate the music that these grannies like to dance to, there have been protests, there have been guns fired, but that is not stopping the grannies. They are fearless, Liz. They are going out there and they are dancing every weekend, despite the fact that their lives are at risk because people have threatened them with physical violence just to turn down the music.
That is amazing. You can picture that, right? The boombox and the ballroom dancing. I love that picture, Julie. Thank you.
Okay, so there you have courageous grannies in China. Now, a fascinating story that I read this week about in Nigeria, that in Nigeria for the last 5 years, there's been ongoing fighting between Nigerians' sectarian government and their army and an Islamic sect called Boko Haram. And this has resulted in thousands of people being killed between these Islamist separatists and the government trying to put down these, the raids and rashes. So the thing that the government has found that they feel is the way to sort of tame the Islamic terrorists, as they call it, is to get them married. So they have been staging mass marriages. That's right. For the last 18 months, nearly 1,500 people, couples in this one region of Nigeria in the have been married thanks to the government. So the government gives the groom like $60 and gives the bride, she gets a bag of rice, she gets some eggs, some cooking oil, a mattress, and $125 to start her own business. You see who they give the money to start, the seed money for the business to. They give it to the woman. But they feel that if they marry off these terrorists, that the women are going to be a stabilizing influence in the terrorist life. And therefore, they will be less interested in terrorism and more interested in staying home and having a home life. So this is a very popular program.
That is fascinating. That is fascinating.
Isn't it?
That just sounds terrible for everyone involved.
Right.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just is. It just, you think about the women that go off and marry like the mountain men in Alaska. Yeah. Wow. That's an amazing story, Julie.
Yeah. But again, this is an area where there's just, you know, indescribable poverty. And that, so it's hard for us to see, you know, that to understand that this would be a great opportunity, or that the men and the women would see this as an opportunity. But they do. They expect to do another 4,000 marriages this coming year. And then they have a wait list of another 5,000 people who want to participate in this program. So whether or not it will make any peace in the region, I don't know. But I think it is just, again, women making a difference in the world.
Right.
So
yeah, your opportunities have to be pretty limited when that sounds like a good
right
deal.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. But final story has to be on Angela Merkel, the of Germany. She is hopping mad. Okay?
Yeah.
The United States, specifically the NSA, has been listening in on her private phone calls. And she has complained to the U.S., complained to the president, and she feels like it's still going on. Now, here's what I think. I think that they probably all spy on each other, and maybe the NSA does it better than some of the, you know, than Germany does on us or France or whatever. But I think it's very interesting how vocal Angela Merkel is about this, and how, you know, how she's really criticized the U.S. and you know, there are reports today that that Obama was aware that they were tapping into Angela Merkel's private cell phone. So I don't know, but don't you think part of it,
Julie, is that, I mean, the history in Germany of the East German secret police spying on everything would get a particularly sensitive issue in Germany, you know, where people paid such a terrible price for so many years because of the internal spying. I think you're right. Of course, they all know that everybody's spying a little bit on everyone else, you know, and you've lived in several major spy centers, you know, both Moscow and Bangkok, that are just nests of spies. So it seems more normal for you. But like, I can see why for the average German to think that their chancellor was being spied on by us would be shocking.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure they're all mad that this was disclosed. I mean, I think that's probably
right. They're kind of embarrassed.
Some of the now that they have to make public statements because this was disclosed, even though they all knew what was going on. So that's it, girls. Four stops this week, maybe more next week. It depends how the wrist goes.
Okay, well, I want to do a little bit of a social network report, because there's always a lot of activity on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. So if you haven't joined there, go ahead. Remember, also, we tweet. We're at Sat Sisters. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, that's the place to do that. And for those of you who have downloaded the Stitcher application and listened to our show on Stitcher. I mean, we love Stitcher and it works really well. I think it's very easy. We would love to ask you to give us a thumbs up every time you listen to a show, because that actually does help us with Stitcher. And when we post the new show, like today, when we do this in an hour or two, when we post the show on Facebook, if you can share that to your own social network, that is also really helpful to us. So having all of that, can I just say that on Tuesday's show, Julie and Leon, you had this amazing conversation about this shocking creature I had never heard of called the Fisher Cat.
Yes.
The Fisher Cats, Liz. They're out there.
The Fisher Cats have prompted quite a bit of discussion in the Facebook group, and apparently they are on the loose in more places even than you thought in your original story. Kim said they're definitely on Cape Cod. Robin said she saw one at her near her parents' home in northern Minnesota. Liz in Connecticut said that her husband saw one out running or something. And Lynn posted that her son works on a rig and they have been trying to avoid the Fisher Cats. She didn't say where the rig was, but you can just use your imagination. So Fisher Cats on the loose. This is a creature. Tuesday was the first I had ever heard of it. Now apparently they're like overrunning all of America.
They're terrifying. When Julie played the audio, I was trying hard to match that audio with an actual cat. And then I saw it. They are terrifying looking. Sheila, beware. That's all. Just stay safe in your apartment there.
I will. I never leave unless I have to go to work. So that's good, Leanne.
Or Starbucks.
Sheila, as someone who finds squirrels frightening.
they are dangerous. We know how dangerous they are.
Anyway, so all of that is on the Facebook group. Just wanted to report on that. And then the last thing, I spent my day yesterday. I have begun the search for the perfect sectional, sisters.
Wow. That's quite a step for you, Liz.
Yeah. You know, I've had some bad experiences with living room couches. Like two or three times in my life, I have bought couches that are the wrong size.
Yes, I have.
So
dramatically the wrong size.
Yes. I have a fear of couches because of these bad experiences. I bought one that it would have fit in the room had it only fit through the door, but it did not fit through the door, right? So there was that one that was just... What'd you say, Julie?
That was so sad because it was such... I said it was so sad, Liz, because it was such a nice couch.
Yes.
But it just...
it just could not... Yes. And then
Couldn't go in the room.
Yeah. Then I overcompensated and bought one that was so small, it looked ludicrous. It was more in the mini love seat. It was more like a chair and a half love seat kind of thing. So I went from couch that's way too big, couch that's way too small. So now I've just decided, you're familiar with my living room here, and I've lived here now for a while, and I need to spruce things up a little bit. And my Crate and Barrel fold-out couch here, which I know all of you have slept on at one point or another, correct? Yes. It's very nice. It's a nice couch and a perfectly okay fold-out bed, right? But my...
Oh, yes. It's excellent, Liz.
Okay. So it will be available soon. Because I've just decided that I needed to, again, the furniture feels too small in the room, that I've never really had. I want a sectional because I just want to be able to lay on my living room couch and watch TV, right?
I think you've earned that after so many years on the planet. Yep.
I just want to lay on my living room couch and watch TV. And my current, the furniture configuration does not allow that, does not allow that. It's just all wrong. So I've been getting expert help. As it happens, I have two friends who are architects, and they each have been weighing in with specific floor plans for the room, like how I could reorient the whole room. But both of the plans involve sectionals. So I feel like I can start while the rest of the plan gets worked out. I can start the search for the sectional. And then you get into the part, do you want the left-hand chaise or the right-hand chaise? All of that kind of stuff. And I'm like, left or right? Like, is that standing behind it or looking at it? Because of course I have this fear that I will order the wrong side.
Yes.
You know, that I'll get, that it will arrive and it, now I'll be like a mile away from my television because it will be on the wrong side. So I'm working on that. So yesterday I did the full tour, you know, because you can't go wrong at Crate and Barrel, right? So I went to two different Crate and Barrels, just, you know, surprised they have the same stuff, but I just felt like I wanted to really be thorough with Crate and Barrel, then your West Elms, your Pottery Barns, and a few other shops. And as I was driving home from where the Crate and Barrel was in Los Angeles, I saw this other store that had couches in the window. So I went in there, and they had one that I really, really liked, like right in the window. So I'm talking to the woman and she's giving me the catalog and she's explaining to me like the different section, the corner sections and the chaise section and the this and the that, you know, and all the different pieces you need to sort of, the geometry of figuring out which sections of the sectional you need is kind of daunting for someone like me who's made so many errors in the past. And so she hands the sheet with all the sections. And then under it, I was trying to figure out what the price was. And it said under one of the larger sections, it said 1,000. And I said, is that the price? And she looked at me like I was crazy. She said, no, that's how many centimeters it is.
No.
She said, it's anywhere between $18,000 and $20,000.
Oh my God.
$18,000. $18,000 for a section.
Was that it made out of gold? I mean, honest to gosh. What is that?
I don't know, Leon.
You could get a small car and put it.
No wonder you liked it, Liz.
No, it's just so funny to me that it was. What I thought was dollars was really centimeters. Yeah. So I should have been suspicious at the super fancy catalog they had. It was a step up from previous catalogs. So the first thing I did when I got home with like all of the tear sheets and swatches and things that I had collected during my search, I took that cat. Everything from that store went directly in the. I didn't even want it like kicking around in my file. It would just confuse me. And the next thing you know, I'd be buying, you know, not that I would ever buy an $18,000, but I needed to remove that as a choice from my consideration set, as they say. So, I've narrowed it down a little bit. I think my goal is to make a decision by Christmas. I think
that's good, Liz.
Because the what started this whole project was actually the fact that I need to replace the carpet. So, you know, once you get the new carpet, then you think, now the walls really need to be painted.
Everything else looks bad, right?
Walls get painted, your 15-year-old Crate and Barrel couch starts to look a little, I don't know,
old.
Shabby, yeah. But not in the shabby chic kind of way. Just more shabby without the chic. So we'll see how this works out. So the search for the sectional is on. I will, I'll keep you posted.
You know, I just want to slip in one more thing before we sign off. I forgot to mention, you know, remember we were soliciting people, or people nominated us for the podcast awards.
Oh yeah.
You know that? Well, there's, I got an email today. There's the live announcement tonight of who the nominees are. Really? So that's exciting. A live announcement in case you want to watch Girls. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern time at podcastawards.com. So that's the good news. Should we be nominated in the People's Choice category? You can watch it live. Now, the not so good news is, should we happen to win, they do not have any sponsors for the podcast awards this year, so there's no actual awards.
I thought you were going to say we would have to pay. I thought that it would be these kinds of awards, that it's somehow going to cost us a couple of $100 to win this award.
Almost. You know, usually you get one free statue and then you have to pay for additional ones. In this case, there are no free statues, but that doesn't mean it's not an excellent honor. So I will let people know, should we get a nod in the People's Choice category.
I think we should just host our own No Host Awards, Leanne. You and Julie did that at that nice place in Dallas. We'll just pick a place and yes. we'll post it on the Facebook group that podcast, People's Choice Podcast Awards tonight. We're holding them ourselves.
This made me laugh. What's that?
That's a great idea, and it cuts down on the acceptance speech. You don't have to fuss with that. So there's some pause. You have to look at the positive, yeah, sister.
Absolutely, yes, Jewel. You always do. Okay. You always do.
Look at the positive. Okay. What painkillers on you are you on, Julie? Only kidding.
All right, so I guess we need to wrap it up there. I know, big Halloween this week. Sheila, you usually do it up costume-wise for school on Halloween. Do you have anything planned?
Oh, completely, Liz. Yes. We are doing a third grade team costume. I don't want to give it away, but
You think some of your team might be listening? Or some of your competition might be listening.
I usually win I have a very creative costume planned for the entire third grade team. It involves, I'll just say what it is. We are going to be the third grade cleaning crew, and because third graders love to clean. So I have purchased the entire costume, white shirts, white pants. Actually, the team members are responsible to bring in white jeans. We're going to have painter's hats, big containers of cleaning supplies. I have my mini vac. And really, third graders will want to clean more than learn how to multiply. I mean, they'll do anything to clean. So that's our concept.
Okay. That's a surprising concept. I guess I just don't know a lot of third graders.
The thing is, Liz, you normally I go with the other teacher, yeah, and it's a twofer, and that makes for some very wonderful costumes. But when there are four people involved, you just that's hard for me. Uh-huh. To think of a costume for four people, because I don't like
Adeline sisters when you have four other people involved. Yeah.
I don't like to really share my great ideas that much, so I came up with a mediocre idea that we can all do.
And Leanne, Halloween is a huge night at your house. You are one of those destination neighbors for Halloween, and you do it up. You're always a witch, right?
I'm going to be a witch again. I have, I decorate the front of the house, so it's a goth witch's house. I drape it in black. I have a lot of lights. I have a lot of crows. I have some screaming tombstones that really scare the bejesus out of little kids. It's fantastic. This year I bought at a yard sale the most spectacular stained glass pumpkins. I can't even tell you. They are lit from within, and they're stained glass, and they throw shadows all over the place. I'm getting a lot of props on the pumpkins already for $10. I found at a garage sale. So I'm actually getting very excited. I have some appliques this year that I bought at Target, crows and trees. So I'm going to go out this afternoon and start to put together the front of the witch's house. I'm pretty psyched, actually.
Wow.
And now the rest of my family officially does not care. So it is all me. Now that we have the stained glass pumpkins, Colin's response was, oh, thank God I never have to carve another pumpkin. You know, so that.
They're too old now, Leanne.
They're too old to care at all. So, and my husband has never cared. So it's just me.
Leanne, you know, there's actually an episode of Modern Family where this is the plot.
Yeah.
Where Julie Bowen cares about Halloween and nobody else in the family does, right?
Yes, Liz. Yes. Huh? That is me. I am that. So I will be dressing up as a witch. I'm debating to go the green face or not. I usually do. But I also wanted to get a facial this week. So I thought that seems to defeat the purpose of the facial, to then put green makeup on it.
So. And Julie, you sent all of us a photo of yourself in the front yard with your temporary wrist cap standing in front of your super adorable Halloween inflatable.
Yes. Unlike my sister, Leanne, I go with happy Halloween. That's my happy, not scary, happy. It's all happy at my house. We have a big happy inflatable in the front yard, happy candy, no scary stuff. I want all the little children to have a happy time. I don't believe in scaring the bejesus out of the book.
Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. We can talk about this on next week's Satellite Sisters. How's that, sisters?
Sounds good, Liz. Great.
Okay, happy Halloween, all, whether it's scary or not. We are the Satellite Sisters, and don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.
Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite's gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with parking cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. You've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. Watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love.